Father, we come to you right now. We thank you, Lord, for the goodness that you are to us and what you've given to us and what you've caused us to receive in Jesus' name. And God, we come to focus in on you. You are high and lifted up in this house in Jesus' name. We curse the works of the enemy in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be able to come before you, Father. And we say to you, God, we come to hear from you in Jesus' name. We call the blessings of God upon each and every person in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that there is nothing whatsoever to stop what is coming. It's coming, God. It's coming to us. And we receive it in Jesus' name. Satan, though you come immediately to steal the word, your assignment at this church, on this place that God chose to place his name here, it's canceled. And off every person this year and those that are watching by live stream, I cancel your assignment. This good word is going to the great ground that's ready for seed and bringing forth a great fruit in abundance. In Jesus' name I declare it done, and everybody said amen. Let's make a confession. Say, this is my Bible. I am what the Word of God says that I am. I have what the Word of God says that I have. I can do what the Word of God says that I can do. I am a hearer of God's Word on purpose, but I'm not just a hearer. I'm also a doer of God's Word. And because I am a doer and not just a hearer of the Word of God, my life is blessed. This is my Bible. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. In Jesus' name I declare it done. And everybody said amen. All right, go ahead and be seated. You've been standing for a while. Today I want to teach on the subject, and I'll continue to teach on this into 2026, it looks like, how to receive in 2026. Now, you just saw, I want this good and strong. You just saw that our emphasis is not going to be on you and your stuff. But we're going to have to know how to receive what God has for us. And it's not just physical I'm talking about. I believe God wants to take us higher in a spiritual realm also. It's not just spiritual. It's not just physical. It's not just emotional. God wants to be able to help us in all areas. And I did a series. I don't know if we still have the CD on that or even the cassettes. I think it was way back when we did cassettes on the fine art of receiving. It's like, well, you know, I bought my wife a fiddle for Christmas. She's always wanted a violin. I always wanted drums. She always wanted a violin. And she was in fifth grade, and their family was stationed to Okinawa, Japan. Funny thing, I spent 3 years in Japan, and she spent 2 years or so in Japan, but she was there older. I was a little kid. I was born in New Orleans, Louisiana. They put me on a plane. My dad and mom, we took off for Japan. That was the first place that we were gone. I mean, within a week or so, I was in Okinawa, Japan, grew up over there for about 3 years. And but Kathy was over in Japan, and because they went to Japan, she wanted to take violin, but they would not allow her to take it because they didn't have it in the classes over there on the military base in Okinawa, Japan. But she lived over there, and I lived over there, and we remember some of the things. Even when I was 3 years old, I remember some of the things. I remember some of the housing and the typhoons and some of the things that happened in Japan. So I first learned, my first language was Japanese, I guess. No, I'm just kidding. It's important to know, because that fine art of receiving is almost like the Lord put in my heart. It's like playing a violin very skillfully and very gently and making sure you hit every note the way it's supposed to go. And that's what God wants you to do, is to receive in 2026, and we have to learn how to do that. Because 26 is different, okay? I'll say it again, 26 is different. Now, in order to get there, I'm going to give you a couple of different ways of receiving this. First of all, I want to give you some truths that you just need to hang on to. These are not facts. Facts change. Truth does not. If you were born December 12th, 1973, that is not just a fact, that's just the truth. You can't change that date. The truth of the matter is that you were born December 12th, 1973, whatever I said. That's the date you were born.
facts do change. Now, I come out of the media, out of radio and television. I spent most of my life in that industry. And after that, owning advertising agencies and doing marketing and doing voiceovers and doing talent work and hiring people and then owning a radio station, all that stuff having to do with broadcasting and all of that kind of baloney. But anyhow, so I was involved with that last station we owned. We did make it a Christian station, but that was sort of an offer to God to leave me alone from being a pastor. Sort of like, God, you want to take that? He was like, uh-uh, that ain't going to work. I've called you to pastor. But there are some truths that we need to get a hold of. And in the media, we get statistics all the time to be able to write our stories and to be able to substantiate what we're bringing to the public as true. So we'll gather stats consistently and use those stats. But stats change. The statistics may be this right now, but they're going to change after a while, and they won't be that. God's word does not, will not, will never change. What is true today will be in a gazillion years, in a billion years, we know trillion now because America talks about trillions all the time. Trillion years from now, God's word will still be the same. So when I give you, and I'm telling you, I'm giving you truths, these are based on the word of God. They will never change. Now, the little life we live for 50 years, 100 years, 200 years, I don't care how long it is, it ain't long at all. You can't outlive the truth. So you can make up a fact or say a lie or whatever you want to do. The truth is the truth, and we need to get a hold of the truth. And the quicker you just surrender to the truth, the better you're going to be. I am a preacher of the truth. God would not keep me here preaching to you if I was not preaching to you the truth. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And you know what that does? That separates people. That tells you that Buddha doesn't get you there. That tells you that Allah and, you know, all of that religion doesn't get you there. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. Ain't nobody else there besides me, the Holy Spirit, and God the Father. That's it. And you got to just accept that as a truth and just live with it. Now, if that excludes some of your friends, ain't nothing I can do about it. I don't want to, but if they come to Jesus now, they can live according to that truth also. Now, the truth of the Word of God is not a truth. Because a lot of people have, well, that's my truth. It's selective truth. Even when you ask them questions about stuff, they'll tell you part of the truth of that story. Yeah, you were at work yesterday, but the truth is you were stealing out of the till. Because God's about the truth, the whole truth, nothing but truth. Now, that's not a scripture, but that's what he's about. Now, when we hit the truth, it's like hitting iron. Truth is uncompromising. Please write this down. By the truth. I said it the second time I'm saying it within the last month. By the truth. Write it down. By the truth. You need to buy the truth. It's going to cost you to buy the truth. And sell it not. It's in Proverbs, I believe it's 23:23. I'm not going to look there. I did before. But I don't have time right now. I've got to expedite here. And so I don't have time to look it up. You look it up. You go home and study. Find out if what I'm saying is the truth. When you hear the preaching here, you go home and you study for a while. Don't sit there and just listen to me. You go home and find out. That's how the Berean church was. One of the first churches that Paul dealt with. They went home to study what Paul said to see if it was the truth. And they became stronger Christians because of it. Because they found out what they heard from Paul was the truth. What you hear from Don is the truth. I am not here to lie to you. Because a lie ain't going to stand. It's not going to help you. Here, I'm the pastor. And this is the thing about it. Pastors come back every week to the same people. Washed my car between last week and this week. It's just, you know, you just watch the pastor. And they're supposed to be an example to the flock. So if you want to do well, you want to have your pastor do well. You don't want no broke pastor. You don't want no sickly pastor. You don't want no fornicating or adulterous pastor. And there's another scripture that says, as is the priest, so be the people. I haven't even got to the truth that I need to bring you, but I'm trying to help you. It should be like people, like priests. No, it should be like priests, like people. The people are like the priests. You should have an example before you. Now, example doesn't mean it's perfect. Sometimes you get an example of a picture of something that you got for Christmas. In fact, where's my Christmas gift? I can bring my stuff up here. You get an example of your Christmas gifts. You know, the kids got a new playground. You got to put it up in the backyard, whatever. And they'll send you a picture that's sometimes off. I think sometimes they send you extra screws just to make you a little, you know, a couple of extra bolts. You're done. There's nowhere else to put them. But see, the thing is that we have to realize that these things are used to play with. This is one of our favorites with the grandkids. Hungry, hungry hippo. And we play this at our house and sometimes at their houses. And it has hippos in there. You know why they're called hippos? Because if they turn a certain way, all you see is the hip. Okay. Anyhow, this is one of the games. Now, this is one of the games we play. We love to play this game. It has certain rules. They're not very strong rules, but it does have certain rules. You can't steal somebody else's marbles. So what you're trying to do is get as many marbles as you can by the little hippo. Okay, you want to see it. I know. I heard that. Uh-oh. There went part of it down there. And I never really get a chance to play this one with the kids. That's all the marbles. You put the marbles in the middle, and then you make your hippo eat them. Now, this is also for 2026. You can't eat everything. So whoever hippo eats the most marbles wins. Because, you know, we all need marbles, mostly in our head. Okay, so let me go. Then there's also a dart game. And one of my assistants said he wants this one. It reminds him of being in the bar. No, I'm just kidding. But Jeff did say he wanted to be able to play with this one. This is a dart game, but it doesn't have the sticky darts. It has sort of styrofoam darts. Do you guys like this tie better than that one? Okay. All right. That one sort of looked like. All right. Well, that was just an option for today. Let's see here. What else we got in here? Okay, here we go. Now, I'm trying to help you to understand there's certain rules to all these games. You can't use the hungry hippo game for the dart game. And you can't use, who wants this one? No ladies, please. Old maid, never mind. Old maid and go fish. Anybody know how to play these games? I'm gonna put your hand up. Y'all know how to play. Now, I'm trying to show you that, sorry about that, each one of us have an opportunity to play the game or not. This is not a game that we're involved with here in the kingdom. But there are rules. You gotta learn, some of y'all looking like you really wanna play this game. That's okay. We'll have it afterwards over there in the corner. We have to realize that even these simple games for kids have rules. There are principles. There are things that you can do with the go fish game that you can't do with old maid. There's some things that you can use for hungry hippo you can't use for the other games. Did y'all get that? All right. So when we deal with this, we're not dealing with playing games. Pastor Shaw ain't up here to play no games with you. But we do have some rules that we need to follow. So I'm going to give you various principles and truths that we need. Number one, God is for you and wants you to enjoy your life. Stop acting like God is not for you. I don't care what you go through, and I have a little bit of experience to tell you about that you got to know that no matter what it looks like, God still cares for you. God is for you. Stop acting like you're the only one that cares about you. Now, these are just principles. You may have been, you know, handed lemons as a life. Make some lemonade. You've heard that. You may feel like, you know, everybody's against you. No, they're not. God is not. And God will surround you with people that will help you. Some of the reason why we don't have the people around us helping us is because we repel them. Because we have an attitude that we don't think anybody wants to help us. Not everybody's trying to criticize you. Some people are trying to help you. This is one. Though I may tell you some of the rules that God has in his kingdom that you don't like. I can't fudge for you. I have to tell you, I've watched lives for almost 40 years. People have entrusted the truth with me, have entrusted their personal lives, their marriages, their homes, their children, their funerals, and all kinds of different things. That doesn't make me God, but it makes me have some experience that the typical person working at Boeing, riveting rivets on, you know, for 8 hours a day and then going home and eating pizza and going to bed, I have a little more experience with dealing with people. And then I have the inside of God. But that doesn't make me God. You need God. You don't just need a man. That sounded like that was for a woman. Anyhow, God is for you and wants you to enjoy your life. Please say that with me. Say, God is for me and wants me. He wants me to enjoy my life. Go to St. John 10:10. Put it on the board now. Go to St. John 10:10. Now, the Lord put in my heart, there's some of you going into 2026, you need the simple things to be taught to you because you never got it. It's like you're trying to take fourth grade and you never went through second and first and third. So God wants you to get the basics. I want everybody in this church, everybody within the sound of my voice, everybody watching to be able to have the same opportunity for victory in their lives instead of we see a few folks that got it because they were here in an early time when we taught the basics and helped people to be able to get there. We need to all get there. And that's my heart. So St. John 10:10 says, the thief. First of all, you need to know there is a thief, an adversary, a devil. It's real. Now, he doesn't walk around with a pitchfork and red suit and horns, but the enemy is the enemy, and he's real. Now, you don't have to be afraid of him, but you need to make sure that he respects you because of who you are in the kingdom and the word that you have. You have authority over the enemy. He is a fallen angel. He is not a human being and never will be. He is a fallen creation that God created. He was known as the morning star, but there is no longer that star. Jesus took his place. There's only one star. See, I come out of the media where everybody thought they were a star. You put a camera in front of their face or give them a microphone and they think they're a star. I got so sick of that, it makes me throw up. And see, because that don't make you nothing. Just because you can sing a song, like my brother over here, he knows that. He's so humble, he loves the Lord because God brought him out of hell. And see, for some of us, we ain't had enough hell. Now, I'm not preaching hell on you, but I'm saying for the ones that have been forgiven much, they love much. But if you ain't had to be forgiven over nothing, if you haven't had need to have God to really do something for you, you've been sort of cushy all your life. It's sort of hard to be able to even realize you need God. The money always flows. You don't get that sick. You just look old. But everybody getting old. So you don't worry too much about that. A little just for men and a couple of wigs, you're fine. God is for you. How can God be for me when he's got to be for everybody else too? I'm with these other people and he's for them. You got your own lane. You got your own success that doesn't interfere with anybody else. We all win. We all win. You're not competing against your brothers and sisters in Christ. Even the ones that love the Lord more than you, you're not competing. You are part of what God has created, and he has a special plan just for you. You got to live that special plan. And I don't care if the devil tried to throw dirt in your face and try to kick you in the rear end and try to break your arm and hurt your face and you know, attack you. Use that as a testimony once it's over. You don't have a testimony until the test is over and you win. So don't go out there half-cocked. You ain't had no victory. For 6.5 years, I couldn't say nothing. Because I couldn't say nothing. My mind wasn't working like it should have been. And, you know, I'm a former professor, a television host for 5 years, Emmy Award-winning television program that I hosted up front on Channel 4 in Seattle, ABC affiliate. Radio station owner, talk show host, following Rush Limbaugh when he was alive on KVI in Seattle, written several books, pastor of church, been a businessman, handled millions of dollars, but I couldn't talk. Not until I got the victory. You don't have a testimony until you have the victory over the test. Shut your mouth until you do and just confess, I believe I receive. I believe I receive. Come on now, because God is for you and he wants you to enjoy your life. The thief does not come. He don't even show up except to steal, to kill and destroy. So when you identify the enemy, and sometimes he works through people, he comes to steal, look for something missing. He comes to kill, find something dead, or to destroy, just mess it up. Now, that's what I usually do with the games, you know, especially the Old Maid. If I ain't winning an Old Maid, I just mess up the cards. I don't do it with Old Maid. I do it with Monopoly, though. I got to be winning or else I'm not playing. No, I'm just kidding. Here we go. And I, Jesus says, I have come. It's past tense, but it still affects you. It's just the truth. I have come that they, speaking of us, believers, may have life. That's a Zoe. That's the kind of life that God has. You're supposed to not wait to heaven to live the God kind of life. You're supposed to be living the God kind of life now. Get this. I don't care what your uncle said. I don't care about your broke cousin. You are supposed to be on top now. With all your baggage, with all your sins, and all that's bad, we're going to deal with that. You are supposed to be on top and rising. And not just in your head. Because some of us, we're a figment of our own imagination. You'll get that on the way home. Number two, God wants you to prosper and be in health. He does not need a bunch of broke Christians begging from the world to make it. If it's like even with the part that says prosper and be in health. How in the world are you going to prosper and be in health? If you're sick, how are you going to help somebody that's sick? Now, if you're sick, I wouldn't say crawl into a hole and don't do nothing, but I'm telling you, you need health. I can't sit around waiting for 4 more loads of medicine to come into me. I got to move. I got stuff to do. I don't have time to sit around and wait for a disease to leave me. I did that for 6.5 years while y'all and my wife especially prayed and knocked the devil in his head, and he got sick of getting knocked in the head. I mean, she was like a bulldog. She wasn't giving up. She said, you're coming back, Don. You're coming back better than what you were. You're coming back. And I'm going to point him out. Where is Jeff Mitchell? He's probably in the foyer working as an usher. Bring him here. That guy told me every time I came to this church, come up here. Come stand right up here. This guy with the crew cut from Idaho. No, stand down here. You ain't came on up here. Don't come up here. You're going to take up all my time. Now I know what you're going to do. This guy from Idaho, somewhere in Idaho I can't even pronounce, Shoshone, right? Yeah, that's where that guy was shooting in the sheriff's office this past week.
Okay, yeah. Wasn't your relative, was it? Okay, I'm just kidding. He was pretty wild, man. This brother was a drinker. He drank everything. I mean, you have a fishbowl, he'd be drinking that and put the goldfish to the side. But anyhow, and God delivered him. But he, every time I came to this church, Pastor Shorter, you're going to be, God is healing you, and you're going to be better than you would before. I said, oh, shut up. The way I feel right now, I don't feel, well, Pastor Shorter, next time, I started trying to avoid him. Now, he's one of our assistants, but I tried to avoid him. He'd come, here he comes, man, Kathy, here he comes again, okay. What am I going to do? Just listen to him. So him and her and a bunch of y'all, just every time, you're going to be better than you were before. You're going to be better than we're going to be better. See, your words took on a life. This is it. This is the life. So thank you. I want to be able to just publicly say thank you for you doing that. I appreciate that. I do appreciate you doing that, because even though I didn't want to hear it, like some of you don't want to hear this. You don't want to hear it. This is too good for you. For some of you, you're so down on yourself, you don't want to hear this. You feel like, I'm too messed up. Well, you are. You are. You're so screwed up, it's so sad. You know, but God wants to take your screw-ups and make it something that he can be able to have you get glory to him for. Okay? I mean, if God's going to do all this stuff, you know, he needs something to work with. You know, so he'll take messed up situations like you and me and fix us. And I know I was messed up, and I knew it. I told you last week, I was a living lie. Now, I'm not talking about when I was in the sickness and pastoring and all that stuff, but out in the world, man, I was crazy. And so we need to know that God wants you to prosper. 3 John 2, go there. Third epistle of John, verse number 2. We're going to quit right here. We have to. 3 John 2, this is so simple. Of all the things that you pray for somebody, and you know this is being recorded in the Word of God, what would you say? What are you wishing on people? And see, you got to watch what people are wishing for on you. Not everybody wishes that you do well. Now, I've got these 5 things that I'm giving you right now, and then I've got several other things that we're going to have to get to, so this is going to take some time. And then I want to be able to, does anybody know what an OG is? Does anybody know what smoke some weed means? What about a side hustle? About DoorDash? Bullying? Drive-by shootings? How about, you don't know this one, limb system? That's living in my mother's basement system. Okay, that's mine. I just came up with that. The Spirit of the Lord gave it to me. Homeless encampments, mass shootings, throwing down versus throwing up. We're going to discuss these things because these are things that sort of mess us up in our thinking concerning how God is about us. Don't have time today to get to all that. Let's deal with what we're dealing with. Beloved, congregation, church folk, Christians, PCC members, those watching by live stream, those watching by television, those listening to the podcast, I wish above all things, I pray that you may prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. Give me the King James Version on that. Look at what it says. Beloved, I wish above all things, above all things, above all things, above all things, above all things. Above what? Above all things. Above what? Above all things. Above all things. I wish above all. I pray above all things that you may prosper, you may prosper, you may prosper, not be broke. Who wants to be broke? How in the world you think God's going to attract people to a belief where you get broke in the process? That's what the devil wants you to have to say about, you know, that as once you become a Christian, you know, it's just going to be hard. It's going to be hard. It was hard before you became a Christian, fool. You come, at least you got something to fight with, somebody to fight with you. You got the angels now. You got the Holy Spirit's help. You got God Almighty. You got brothers and sisters praying for you. Come on, how can you lose with the stuff you use?
This is crazy.
Well, when you come to become a Christian, it's going to be really hard. Ooh, I'm telling you, it's going to be really hard.
That's a lie. That's a lie. No, it's not. First of all, you're going to have a load of bricks off your shoulder. You don't have to live a lie no more. Tell the truth about who you really are instead of trying to fake it till you make it. So, I wish above all things that you may, I like this translation because it doesn't say you're gonna. This is conditional. You live a funky life and stay away from the Lord. Why is it so hard for you to go to church? Why? You can go to game, you go to work, you go to store. But to get your rump in church, it's like an act of Congress. We got to vote you in. You should, how in the world are you talking about you going to heaven? You can't even stand going to church. Where are you going? You're going to be with more believers there. They're going to really drive you nuts. And then God's going to be in the throne room making noise. Jesus is going to be right next to him and say, yeah, that's right, God. Go on now. That's good. How are you going to go to heaven and not have a heart attack or a nervous breakdown? You can't stand being around the pastor. Church folk bug you. You got to get real with yourself. 2026, your butt should be hit by that door. It's the second week I'm saying this. It should be hit by that door on your way in, not out. You should make sure you're coming through that door because there is nowhere else where there's help like there is. The Bible says there's help in the sanctuary. And Lord knows you need some help. That's a sister over there talking about her husband. No, I'm just kidding. Amen. Actually, God wants to help all of us. We need help. I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health. It is not God's will for you to be sick. Sickness is not from God. Even if it's self-administered through drugs and alcohol, that ain't God. That's the devil. He comes to steal your marriage, your relationships. He comes to kill. You keep drinking enough, you can drink enough to kill yourself. Either run into a tree or just alcohol poisoning. Or destroy. It'll destroy everything about you. You'll lose your job drinking too much. You got to realize there are some truths you can't just waffle past them. So here we go. Last two. Third thing is that you can only go as far as your word takes you. Some of you will stay broke because you're going to say you're broke. Some of you will stay sick because you say you're sick. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he, and out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You must change what you say. You do not get saved by thinking it. You must confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. There are some very well-intentioned people that really think that God is great, but they don't confess him. They're still unsaved. There's a two-step process to salvation. Confess and believe. You can't just believe. You can't just believe. I do believe. I do believe. I do believe. You and the cowardly lion. It ain't gonna work. You can only go as far as your words. And your word should mean something. Don't tell me you're going to be there and I show up and you don't. You wasted my time and you're a liar. Get your rump where you said your words or shut up and don't say it. Oh, see, this is new, but this is old. We're going to deal with the old and the new. That's why we're dealing with all these different terms that we use now. Because there's old terms that match on the other side that we throw away when we pick up the new terms. See, because we got generations now, and I'm gonna talk generations. We gotta talk generations, because all the generations in this congregation will be blessed in 2026. You follow God. But we got generations that think as soon as they get on the planet, everything else gotta go away. Whatever we used in the past, that's old. No, that's scripture. And so you can't just throw everything away because you arrived. Millennials, Gen Zers, just because you got a phone in your hand. I know you don't like me now because that's what y'all do, but just keep your peace in your pocket or else I'll go get mine. You think I don't care? And I'm a pretty good shot. See, you have to talk this way to people. It used to be, let's go behind the school gym and we'll work it out. Yeah. And everybody back there watching you. But now it's just like, okay, see ya. We got to deal with this generation. I grew up, I'm getting into next week's teaching, but I grew up, we didn't hear about school shootings. The only thing we knew about a mass was Catholic, you know, church services. We ain't no mass shooting. Mass what? What are you shooting what? What are you shooting? Ducks? See, the terms have changed because our minds have changed. We got to go back because we can't keep going forward with this. So the fourth thing that I have, you're not your own boss or in control of your destiny. God controls your destiny. You're not your boss. If you're your boss, then keep yourself from ever getting sick. If you're your own boss, you tell me when you're gonna die. You your own boss, tell me you ain't never got fired. 90% of us that's any kind of adult, we got fired. I mean, even working for the church, you can get fired. See, it gets quiet on this stuff because you think you're really in control. Do you know our lives are going to end, relatively speaking, soon? You're going to have to give an account to God for the rest of eternity. This is serious. This is just preparation for your eternity. What you do here will determine where you go. This is too heavy for some of us. Okay, last thing. You must deal with sin before you die. This is just the truth. You got to deal with sin. And if you don't have Jesus, you can't deal with it by yourself. Jesus deals with our sin. Because when the Father gets up and says, well, now let's look at the books here. Let's see what the records say about you. Jesus said, oh, by the way, I paid for that one. I washed that with the blood. But you know, and the enemy's there, he did and he did and he did and he did. No, wait a minute. The blood covers that. And the Father says, okay, Jesus, you paid for it. It's canceled. It's the first canceled debt you need to get for 2026. If you have not canceled your sin debts, you need to start there before we cancel your physical financial debts. Say amen to that. Now, next time we're together, we're going to talk about those terms, past and present. We're going to also find out what the previous generations believed, as well as we got some spiritual terms, just a few spiritual terms like name it and claim it about the church. Is name it and claim it scriptural to say about people? Or holy roller, prosperity preacher, cult leader instead of good preacher, artificial intelligence versus filled with the Holy Ghost. We have to deal with these things. Because we live in 2026 in just a couple of days. And let's get ready for it. Next year is off the charts for you. Say that. Say that with me. Say, next year is off the charts for me. Say it again. Say, next year is off the charts for me. Say, thank you, Lord, that next year is set up for me, and I receive it in Jesus' name. Come on, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Come on, give God some praise in the house. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. God accepts us just like we are, but he don't leave us like that. Come on, give him praise in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Jesus' name. We give you praise. We give you praise. Come on, give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. We give you praise in Jesus' name. We give you praise.